Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark, or as Ben Reichle calls it, an opportunity to talk about football prior to the start of the season.
I like that. Is that a leather helmet you're wearing?
Yep.
You're looking good.
This is the one I wore before high school. So, all right, well, welcome on board. As you can tell, Ben Reichle is here. We have Dr. Stephen Skolka with us. We'll introduce him in a moment. You are listening to On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236 throughout our program. We're glad to say the Sunbury Motor Company is on board. They're available on North 4th Street in Sunbury and on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. If you have got to go to a football game at a local location or a distant location, just tell them and they'll make sure your vehicle is ready to go. They've got to do a trip check for you to make sure that all the belts and hoses and fluids and tires and everything is ready to go. If they need to, they'll pump you up with nitrogen. They can do that at the Quick Lane or at the Big Garage. They got a body shop, alignment shop, or if your vehicle is just plain shot and they say it ain't going to make it, you can check out literally thousands of pre-owned vehicles and new vehicles that are on the lots. Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks are their special if you're buying new, but they got pre-owned vehicles. They got the cream of the crop of all the other companies, too, so they'll make sure that you're driving away with a vehicle that is just a super and ready to go and is going to take you through the whole fall. And many, many falls to come. Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com is their website. Dr. Stephen Skolka, 2 years or so?
Beginning my third year, yes.
You're beginning the third year. Okay, so we passed the 2 year. You had 2 full years in.
Mm-hmm.
Superintendent Lewis Bargaria School District just started up classes Wednesday was the first day?
We did. We started classes Wednesday. We welcomed about 2,200 strong, and it was a great start to the school year.
Is that enrollment up or down? What's your trend?
Our trend is pretty stable. We're only down 5 students from the previous year, so we like that kind of stability for all sorts of planning purposes. And it also shows, I think, that the community is also in the region is a pretty stable region as well.
All right. Well, fabulous. All right, we're going to dig into some of that. Talk about your 2 years, some of your accomplishments. You wrapped up one vision plan and started up getting ready to start up a new strategic plan, so we can talk about that. But in terms of the new school year, let's talk about that a little bit. What's new this year? Is there an answer to that question? And maybe there isn't, not much, and no news is good news in your business many times.
Well, no. A lot of different curriculum pilots are going in. We've got some new classes. We're introducing coding at the middle school level after having it in the elementaries. Coding, I think, is very much a hot area for students to learn, especially
elementary?
Elementary coding all the way through, because there's a lot of work in the computer fields.
All right. And if folks don't know, and I didn't know until recently, coding is the writing of computer code that makes computers go. So you're going to have elementary school students that are going to come up with apps and programs and say, hey, Dr. Skolk, I have one that'll follow your vice principals around in case you're having trouble keeping track of them or whatever.
We would encourage any kind of entrepreneurial spirit like that. I think as our students move, our plan is as they move through the grades, we started in elementary, we're introducing it middle now. So as those kids matriculate up into the high school, there will be classes there in probably advanced placement computer science classes.
Wait, so what else is new coding at the elementary level? What else is cooking?
Oh, I think everybody's just welcome. Really, really excited to be back. We had a heck of a good start. Of course, as you said, we're kicking off a new strategic plan. The board adopted that on August 8th. It's called Excellence in Equity 2025, reflecting, I think, those two very, very important values of the community. When we look back at Vision 2020, the previous strategic plan, and if we look back at the notes and the information and all the feedback that went into developing that plan, as well as our new one, the consistent themes across both was the community's insistence on being both a school district that prides itself on being an excellence, on high student outcomes, as well as equal opportunities for all of our kids, regardless of their ability level or where they come from. So we really believe that excellence and equity will describe what we're about and how we're moving forward.
Well, we'll have time for a little bit of a highlights of each. So let's talk about Vision 2020. Pull out something that was a strategic initiative, or I guess you would call it a goal, a goal accomplished that you had hoped to do that. The district had hoped to do that. A very extensive process, too. Even the media was involved in putting our 2 cents in there in Vision 2020. So tell us what was accomplished under there. Just pick out a highlight.
Well, I'll pick out four, if you don't mind, very quickly. We introduced full-day kindergarten and preschool classes, preschool program at Kelly Elementary. We know the importance of early childhood education on getting kids off to a good start, and so ensuring that our four-year-olds had an opportunity and our five-year-olds in kindergarten were there for a full day, I think, was very, very important. We introduced technology as part of regular instruction. When it was no longer, you signed out a computer lab and maybe you went down once a week. Instead, we had a one-to-one initiative for students in grades 4 through 12.
So they got a laptop.
Grades 4 and 5, a tablet, and then 6 through 12, a laptop. And then, obviously, teachers had all of the technology, and a great deal of training went in for teachers to, again, incorporate that into their instruction, because whether it was the transition from the inkwell to the blackboard to the whiteboard, the reality is smart boards and technology is with us today, and we need to be able to use it and use it effectively as a tool, and that's really what it is. It's a tool to help kids learn.
Fewer books?
Yes and no. I think supplements to books in reality. You still have your textbook, or you can still have your textbook, but what you have with an online companion to that textbook is infinitely more opportunities to practice or to see videos. For example, maybe you missed the lecture that day in class. With the supplement to the math textbook, you just go, you find the video on factoring, if that was what we were doing that day, and you have a video teacher right there to help you, and you've got your laptop there to help you as well. So, again, a tool to help learning. So I think those are a couple. We greatly expanded our curriculum across the secondary level, many, many more advanced placement courses. Updating the middle school TV studio, and they're doing the daily announcements there and learning broadcasting. High school the same way, and that's probably the last of the four I'll mention, of course, is the brand new high school. We're an outstanding facility and a gem and a pride for the district.
Well, we got to visit Harry Mathias' Central Columbia recently, a peer of yours in this business. They were done with substitute teachers. If a teacher's not there, the students just work using the technology through whatever the lesson plan was. Student misses a day. No lost time. Go back with the technology, either watch or participate. The classroom, it's
all
very
non,
no study halls. You don't need those. If you have a technology, your study hall's any place where you got a moment with your laptop or your tablet.
Absolutely. Again, like I said, it's. I know we discuss potential drawbacks of a lot of screen time and the misuse of technology, but there's good and bad to everything. And the reality is, if we focus on how we use technology as an instructional tool, we find the benefits outweigh the negatives.
Hey, Doc, looking at it from an outsider, and I know having a daughter in school, so knee deep into it, but an outsider, the integration of technology, and I look at it this way, is that, boy, I hope I don't have to work hard at technology. I hope it works for me, type of scenario, and you go through and you see, but my concerns are, and you addressed it a little bit, is you know, do you over technology wise students, and how do you integrate technology into the real world? Meaning, right now we're seeing a huge push for the basic skills of work, meaning laborers that can move into electricians, that can move into plumbers, can move into masons. Where does your Votech school, of course, you're in Sun, but where does Votech fit into the Lewisburg curriculum or the overall Lewisburg learning portfolio?
From the middle school years on, there is exposure to Sun Tech, whether they be visits, and the Sun Tech does an outstanding job of hosting visits for our middle school students and then our 9th and 10th graders as well, so that they get exposure to what's out there and what's possible, both as an educational program and a potential career. I think Sun also does an outstanding job of ensuring that their students are credentialed when they leave, and as a result can move right into jobs.
Yeah, when you talk about entrepreneurial spirit, in that you can go through the Votech school or go through curriculum, and you can come out, choose to go to college, maybe do a two-year degree, but you could be potentially starting a business or being involved in a business at an early age with skills. Sure. However, I will say this, you might think some of these skills aren't computerized. A lot more and more are computerized now.
Absolutely.
So the coding and getting people involved in that early on, it has to be a positive and should show a positive down the road.
Yeah, I was going to say two things to that, and you hit on one of them, is that it certainly is not the case anymore that when you're learning these trades or learning these skills, you won't be involved in technology. You absolutely will be. Technology is in every profession now, every trade. And I think the second piece you mentioned is also very, very important. That being, you might move right from or go right from the tech center into a job, but at some point, if you want to advance or even start your own business, you will do some post-secondary ed. Whether that be a two-year business school, just so that you know how to operate your own business, or just other aspects of your own profession.
Well, the three of us here can still remember when somebody would pop the hood of your vehicle, have one of us go, you know, hit that gas a little bit more. Okay, now back off. Okay, a little bit more. Okay, hold on, hang on here. They had something called a screwdriver, and they made an adjustment. Okay, you were good to go. Today, that's happening.
Oh, no, it's
unless you're at an antique car fair.
You're absolutely right.
Yep. Sunbury River Festival Car Show had a screwdriver present, just in case. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but Dr. Stephen Skolko's with us, Superintendent of Lewisburg Area School District. We'll open up the phones. We talked a little bit about the completion of one strategic plan, but now he's helping to oversee the launch of another, Excellence and Equity 2025. What are the goals? Lewisburg, a lot of folks look to him to see what superlative school districts are supposed to do and look like around here, but they're going to keep growing and learning, and they're going to be even better in the years ahead. So we're going to talk about those benchmarks and that process momentarily. If you'd like to join us on the telephone, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back.
WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Rob Center, our fabulous producer. Ben Reichley, our good conservative co-host today. Dr. Stephen Skolko's here. Superintendent, Lewisburg Area School District, and talking about a new strategic plan, new set of goals already adopted, Excellence and Equity 2025. Tell us about them.
Well, again, we mentioned earlier that they really reflect the values of our community, and we did a survey of the community, and then we held a workshop. We got input throughout a 8-month period, used all of that input to craft new new goals. Our goals are, I would say, somewhat consistent with Vision 2020 because our work, what we do, is consistent. I mean, we're in the education business, and we need to provide the best educational programming possible for our kids. But one goal, of course, is similar to that. We want to provide rigorous and relevant programs and curriculum that engage all students in developing their individual interests. We know kids have multiple interests, and so we have to have multiple avenues for them to pursue. Another goal, and this one I think is very, very appropriate right now in this time, is we need to support the development of the social, emotional, and physical well-being of each student. We're seeing a lot of students who are coming to us just maybe having experienced some trauma in their lives or some instability, whether that be economic instability or others. And we need to take care of those students, and we need to take care of all of our community. And so part of that goal is to do just that, to recognize that every single student is going to make, we're going to ensure that every student has a trusted adult that they can go to from the time they enter the building to the time they graduate, that our adults know our students, whether they be a teacher, a custodian, a secretary, somebody in that building knows that student on a personal level so that they can assist them, not just in the classroom, but outside of it.
I would say being bored last, not truly, but you should do the paperwork I have. I looked at the budgets, and I looked at the appropriations, mm-hmm. particularly by the state. And I'm going to sort of maybe ask this. As a superintendent, do you wish sometimes you didn't have to take the federal or state monies, being that it seems to be tied to something, and then also they get the ideals that they can also throw something at you called an unfunded mandate. So once you take the monies, you're sort of locked in, and then by the chance they would say, well, can you do this also? Oh, by the way, we don't have any money for you.
I think whether it be in Harrisburg or Washington, they're well-meaning people. And they're well-intentioned, and they are trying to help kids. And so whether the mandate comes through as funded or unfunded, the intention is positive, and we want to try to implement it in the best way we can that helps kids.
Is public education and even education as a whole truly as local as you can get when it comes to people in Washington or here in Pennsylvania and Harrisburg? But it's still as local, meaning you'd rather have $10 and let me spend it the way I think my local district needs it. Please don't tell me that I need to do that when we don't have that, because in urban areas they have that, but we're not quite urban.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Public education is local. I mean, look, we have a local school board. The Board of School Directors is annually elected, and they're elected from your community. So whether it be governance is local. And as you say, you know, given the fact that each community does have maybe some different values and different things that are important to them, and or different demographic makeups, which would result in some different needs, we should have the most flexibility possible in the use of our funding.
And looking at the percentages here, and I think this is a real tough scenario when you talk about federal laws, but how do you balance the needs of special education with your needs of basic education? I mean, because that has become a pretty large budgetary area, right, for basically all school districts.
Well, I don't look at it as having to balance one as opposed to the other. We look at it as every student has their individual needs, and we're going to look to try to meet them the best way
you
can.
You're going to address them as needed. And when I say balance, meaning that you have the needs, mm-hmm. special education has needs that your basic school population mm-hmm. doesn't have. However, the population's going to be mm-hmm. quite larger, and the facilities and the teaching requirements there put some extra areas in play.
They do, and I know that there's some current talk at the federal level right now of funding IDEA, which is the special mm-hmm. federal special ed law, to the appropriate level at which it was initially designed to be funded. But let's not forget that, again, when we talk about special education, there's an IEP or an individual education plan, but there's also a GIEP or a gifted individual education mm-hmm. plan. So if there are individual needs of special education students, there's also individual needs of our gifted students too. So like I say, we try to meet everyone where they are and work with them to meet their needs, their interests, and develop their talents.
And everybody in between, I guess, also.
Absolutely.
You talk about making sure that somehow the school is making sure that they're in, not necessarily in lockstep, but following student interests and nurturing student mm-hmm. interests. Give me a couple for instances there.
Well, I think here's where we do balance some things, because sometimes students don't know their interests. So you do have to make sure that your offerings are broad and you have students taking a variety of classes just to expose them to different things that might pique an interest. But once an interest is found, then we look to develop that interest through more targeted coursework. So, for example, I know in the sciences, for example, we have all of the different AP courses and things like that for students who really take an interest in, let's say, chemistry. They think that's where they're going, and they have the opportunity to do that. We have not only the tech center, but tech courses within our own building that through the assistance and the help of the Green Dragon Foundation are outfitted with just some wonderful equipment and opportunities for kids to be exposed to, and then after piquing their interest, really make a deep dive into the development of their talents in those areas.
Do you see the outside groups, particularly Green Dragon mm-hmm. Association, which Lewisburg's been decades ahead of mm-hmm. all the areas around here? I know mm-hmm. have got theirs up and running, but do you see the outside groups supplementing the financing for particulars? If you're building a new sports stadium, or if you want to put up a planetarium, I mean, sure. can you see outside sponsors? I mean, could you see the Mark Lawrence Planetarium at the Lewisburg High School?
Lawrence Landscaping Planetarium.
There you go. I mean, do you see that as a positive?
I think it is a positive. I think we would be foolish not to entertain private-public partnerships. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the goals of the new strategic plan is to create those relationships with students in the community to develop partnerships and a greater understanding and awareness between not just the community, but of different groups within the community.
And I know there is not an answer to this question with mm-hmm. the time we have left, but can you see Pennsylvania changing the way they finance public schools, getting away from property taxes? Do you see that as a hurdle down the road potentially for you?
Well, how much time do we have?
Okay. Well, just 2 minutes before the minutes top.
So, come back,
so you do have to, I mean, please understand that I worked in Michigan for mm-hmm. 24 years, and Michigan didn't completely eliminate the property tax, but all the property taxes were paid to the state. So instead mm-hmm. of paying them locally, if we did that here, you'd be paying them to Harrisburg, and then Harrisburg would then start making those decisions as to how the money then flowed back out. So as a result, and you talked about it a little bit earlier with an earlier question, That's not local control.
No, you're right.
And that's, so once we start eliminating things like property taxes, we start eliminating local control.
Yeah, and you're true. But also, too, with the aging population and people being in their houses, the taxes are becoming burdensome for the fixed income folks. Mm-hmm. Is there a supplement to that that we can still keep local? I guess time will tell.
Time will tell. And, you know, for us, a year ago, we were able to balance a budget by eliminating the per capita tax. Mm-hmm. And so we're always looking for opportunities to be very good stewards of the public's money.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Stephen Skolka. You can stay past the top of the hour.
I can.
Yeah, we got to look at some more of these things in the strategic plan. I think this is important. So we're going to keep doing that. We haven't talked about the fact that the Lewisburg school buses tonight are going to be traveling down, probably out Park Road over towards Route 204 and into the Selins Grove Stadium tonight. So we should at least mention that tonight. And both of those games are on our radio stations tonight, Eagle 107 and 100.9 The Valley. So that'll be tonight. So we'll chit-chat about that. Dr. Stephen Skolka is with us, Superintendent Lewisburg Area School District. He has completed his first 2 years of probation and now about probably 10 more to go.
Let's hope so.
Okay, so he's going to keep on going. Yeah. New strategic plan, too, Excellence and Equity 2025. So we'll keep talking about what that's going to entail, how they identify that they have a growth area and then basically attack it with good programs and good discussion. So we'll keep talking about that. We will have news headlines then at about 20 after. And we'll do open phones. Today we'll probably be talking about the president's latest tweets. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
And welcome back. WKOK, this is a live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Ben Reichle is here. Rob Sander is our fabulous producer. We're going to open up the phone lines for 15 more minutes with Dr. Stephen Skolka, the superintendent of the Lewisburg Area School District. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And text us at 70236. When we last spoke, we started to look at the idea of excellence and equity 2025, a new strategic plan. You helped draft this. You were in on the drafting and the compilation.
Just kind of led the process. Really, the plan itself was the outgrowth of the feedback of the stakeholders, the community, the staff, the students who were involved in it as well. We went through iterations of drafts with the Board of School Directors, so to eventually get to here. So,
all right, one of the elements you talked about is this idea of social, emotional, mm-hmm. sort of the mental health concerns. Each student has a trusted adult in the building. Mm-hmm. Define that. What does that, how does that shake out?
Well, if you just think back to maybe when you were in school or even think back right now, can you identify somebody who was your favorite teacher? Somebody that you thought really cared about you, maybe pushed you to do things that you weren't even capable of doing. Somebody that if you were having a problem, you thought that you could go to. That's what we want to ensure, that no student is lacking one of those individuals, that everybody can identify a trusted adult in the building. So should they have any problems, whether they be academic, social, peers, something at home that's bugging them, you know, you can't learn very well if your mind's focused on something else. And so we want to get the students that kind of support, but we also want to make sure that they have someone that they can go to. Likewise, we want to make sure that our adults, that if we were to go down the roster of students in their school, some adult could say, yes, I know that student, and I know them well, and I could tell you about them.
I can talk to them. And yeah. So these students will meet with this trusted adult daily, regularly?
No, there's not so much, it's not so much a program that would involve dedicated time. Instead, we just want to ensure that when the need arises, they know that there's someone they can go to.
All right. And they won't just focus on academics, though. They'll be sort of like an individual guidance counselor per se, but they'll also focus on sort of the home life aspect of this, that kind of thing.
Well, again, we're not going to be when we talk about a trusted adult, we're not necessarily talking about prying or, you know, getting involved in things that the student doesn't want us to be involved in. Instead, we're talking about the student themselves knowing that they can go and speak with. And again, it doesn't have to be a counselor. It could even be the building secretary. We had this past year with our graduating class of 2019, we do an exit survey with them. And one of the things we asked them on that exit survey was, who in the building, if you had the opportunity, who in your entire school career, if you had the opportunity to say thank you to, would you and why? And one of the students identified the main office secretary because this student said, she's always there with a smile and she always greets me warmly and I feel as though I'm welcome here. So that's the kind of thing that I know that if that student was probably had something on his or her mind that was troubling them, they'd feel comfortable going to that building secretary.
And if the students also say, well, I'll tell you what, this is the super-duper secretary, she's the best in the building, but at the same time, you're missing X. You know, you don't have this room for me to go to, and it sure would have helped if you did, kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. We want to make sure that, you know, Pennsylvania instituted the Safe to Say line last year in which students could anonymously make tips to the Safe to Say line if they thought something might be happening in their school or with one of their friends that they were concerned about. Well, that's very helpful. We embrace that opportunity. But really, going to somebody immediately to a trusted adult or going to somebody in the building and expressing those same concerns, they don't have to necessarily be about some experience that you're having, but you could be worried about a peer that's acting differently than they have in the past or maybe has made some statements that are concerning to you, and we want to try to provide them help as well.
Other highlights of excellence and equity.
There's a great deal of research that says that if students who are reading at grade level by the end of third grade are more likely to be successful throughout their entire school career, and so we're making a push within the strategic plan to specifically state that one of our objectives is to have all students reading at grade level by the end of third grade.
What percentage weren't?
We're probably about 90% on grade level, so we've got some work to do. But the reality is, we want all students, and so we're going to focus on that word "all," and we're going to work hard to get there.
Isn't reading about as fundamental as you can get in education?
Well,
in my part, I think we've talked about this.
Reading is fundamental. Write that down. We're going to need that.
I think it was 1970s, but I talked about this on the show before. Meaning that if I'm the superintendent, I'm sitting going, "Hold it." If our folks can't read by the level, it's hard to learn. So, I mean, the fundamentals are there. We've talked about the education, and I think we're talking about the 8 o'clock to 3:30 or 8:15 to 3:30. But there's more than that in a school district in education, and it's extracurricular.
Right.
Not particularly always athletics, but we're talking about the school plays, the musicals, the forensics teams, the other groups that go out. However, when you think extracurricular, a lot of times athletics come up. But Lewisburg has a strong tradition on both girls and boys sports and what they've done over the years with soccer, basketball, field hockey, track. Mm-hmm. And, of course, tonight will be a coin flip type game down in Seals Grove.
Sure.
on the gridiron.
Well, before I maybe jump into a scouting report on tonight's game.
but the extracurricular,
I think it's important
what
you say.
We have a large percentage of students taking place in those extracurricular.
But again, like you say, the extracurricular activities are more than just athletics. They're the arts as well. Mm-hmm. And they're more than just both of those things in that there's a lot of different, there's a very wide variety of clubs and organizations, both at our middle school and high school. Skateboarding club, chess club. We've got a brand new group in the middle school that's going to design and produce their own t-shirts. So again, kind of the arts, the graphic arts rather than the performing arts. So
and you look at the band, meaning extracurricular and academic.
So absolutely. So let's put a plug in right now. The Green Dragon Marching Green Dragon Band is going to be at Huffnagle Park next Wednesday to close out the annual Lewisburg Wednesday Night Concert Series. So hopefully folks can come down and see the band perform their show. It's an excellent show.
And halftime tonight, they'll be on the Harold L. Bullock Memorial turf.
Absolutely.
Not so much the field, but the turf tonight. But I always think talking to some folks up north here at the Montoursville School District. Mm-hmm. Principal was always very proud about the percentage of students mm-hmm. that take place, are involved mm-hmm. in the extracurriculars, right. Meaning that gives you, real buy-in to your school.
Oh, absolutely. Again, you make connections to your school, whether it be the people that, as we've talked about, our friends, our respected teachers, but also in the activities in which we participate.
Coming from Michigan, starting your third year, pretty satisfied with what you've been able to accomplish here at Lewisburg and what you came into.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I came into what would be probably one of the best situations anyone could. A very high performing school district with high expectations. A well-run school district in which we are, again, we balance our budget. We do so in a way that's fiscally prudent. There's a great board of school directors. We had mentioned off air here that a really a good deal of research says that that schools and maybe any organizations that are successful have consistency in leadership. Mm-hmm. We've had consistency on our school board, in our administration. And just hope to keep moving forward and continue to provide that consistent leadership.
Do you get back to your college roots a little bit, since it's just right close at Bucknell?
We're very fortunate. We live right downtown on Market, and we purposely do that so that when the day is over, we can walk Market, catch a movie, go to a show, see the people in town, and then walk on campus probably 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, I would say the Lewisburg downtown and the general area has that Norman Rockwell-ish atmosphere to it, but I know it's a little different than being out in Michigan.
Well, yes, but again, we love being in the borough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see one of our listeners sends a note. When are you building the blank football stadium?
Well,
they're pretty excited, I guess.
Well, maybe the blank is for their name because they'll be the donor.
Okay, so you're right, the funding has to be there.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's that, like a $10 million stadium or something?
I don't want to put a projection on it. Yeah. I know the district did have a kind of a feasibility study at some point, but if I misspeak, it's probably not a good thing.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's a football stadium. I think it's an athletic stadium, right?
Well, absolutely, because it would support track and field. Boys and girls track and field. Field hockey. And
soccer?
Well, lacrosse. We do have our turf field, we could certainly line it for everything.
Okay. What about facilities? Where do you need work? You know, your high school is finished, and we always talk about Kelly Elementary because with the floor issue or something.
Well, but that's
like
been
that?
Fixed.
And
that's,
okay, so
we
that's
had
done.
We had two very major building projects over the summer. Both were completed on time and on budget. First one was the Kelly slab, the flooring there. We leveled out because of the paretic shale. We leveled the floor back and in the process renovated their kitchen. So that project, again, went off without a hitch, and we're very happy about that. Served lunch on the very first day. Everything
Good.
Went great. And then we did some work out past the... we did some site work past the turf field to put in some parking behind the turf field for people, but most importantly to do the site work for the eventual Brandon Cram Memorial Baseball Field, which the Green Dragon Foundation has leased that property now and are working on building that, and we hope our hope is that they'll be playing games on it here in spring of 2020.
All right. Other facilities, what's next on the facilities? If I know anything about your 10-year plans, they have the next item on them.
Well, the fourth of four goals in Excellence and Equity 2025 is to review and revise the facilities plan. We need to take a look at our HVAC needs across the entire district. Yes, the high school has air conditioning throughout, being a new building, and obviously these past couple days were tough. But we want to take a look at HVAC needs in our other buildings. And we also really need to take a look at providing, or how can we get more space for some additional pre-K programs, bringing that third grade maybe over to the Lintown building, or right now Lintown is just a 4-5. How do we make our buildings such that maybe we go pre-K 2 and 3-5? So that there's a little bit better balance there.
Do you see the technology side we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. where a student or a teacher actually, you know, if you're, mm-hmm. sort of amazes me that there's not a substitute of some sort in the classroom. But again, do you see where technology will play a part where it will really enhance the cost? Can it reduce the costs? Operating cost of teaching in the future, meaning not so much you don't need as many teachers right. or need many, but do you see technology? And then you've been an educator for a number of decades. Where do you think that maybe year-round school might come into play?
Well, if the HVAC needs are there, then mm-hmm. I would absolutely advocate for year-round school. I think maintaining the agrarian calendar that we do
exactly.
is now more, well, we talked about it again off-air, entire industries have grown up around the school calendar, the camp industries, mm-hmm.
the tourism
and the camp, and they expect us to be off for mm-hmm. 10 weeks in the summer. But being off for 10 weeks is not the best thing in the world educationally for kids.
And competing against the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd love to see a plan, if you talk about a 52-week a year, so you divide that by four, and now you have 13 weeks. So students are on for 10, they're off for 3, and during that 3-week period, we could have a week of either remediation for students who are struggling, or we could have enrichment for students who want to do some things that are outside of the curriculum, and we could do some more teacher professional development, and then everybody gets 2 weeks off. So you keep that rotation going through the year.
And with technology, though, you do need the infrastructure, particularly the broadband infrastructure
sure.
that the Chamber of Commerce is pushing in our area, not just for business, but for education.
Absolutely.
One of our good listeners sends a note, says, do you use the soccer field turf for other sports, like field hockey, lacrosse, or other sports? Do they use the soccer field turf?
Boys and girls lacrosse play there, and our PE classes will often have PE classes out there on the turf as well.
But not field hockey yet.
Field hockey is still over at the Pauling Complex.
Okay. And you don't have a time frame for the football stadium?
No
time frame exists for that?
No.
And you have a pool?
We use Bucknell's.
Bucknell's.
We swim
pool.
At Bucknell.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Anything you would like to tell us that we would have never thought of in a million years?
Well, no, I got my plug in for the band at Huffnagel, and I think
good.
That's important. I know the kids are hard at work, starting with the fall play that's coming up, so please take a look at the calendar for when those performances will happen. And I think more than anything else, understand that the schools are the community schools, and if you ever want to visit, if you ever want to see us in action, just connect with one of our principals, and we'd be happy to have you in.
All right. Oversee some of the education. I think it'd be fascinating. I haven't mm-hmm. been in the back row of a classroom in 20 years. It's I'm overdue, mm-hmm. so I'm going to take you up on that.
Right.
Dr. Stephen Skolka, Superintendent, Lewisburg Area School District, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll take a quick break. We will have news headlines, and we'll enjoy Open Phones.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Ben Reichle is here. How you doing, brother?
Good. And very interesting talking with the doc. And again, you know, hats off to Lewisburg School District. You know, getting a Vision 2020 in place, getting the next step to 2025 and being proactive on what they're doing. And remember, I know folks are grumbling about a new school and a tax increase. However, you know, you hope the efficiencies will bear out. And I think Lewisburg's a very positive school district. Along with others in the area, and you know, if a school district's doing something right, don't recreate the wheel. Go look at it, and you know, that might be a school district up in the northern tier or a school district down south. I just wish Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Philadelphia would adapt some of the situations that might work in some of the some of the other urban or big suburban schools that they could get some efficiencies, because when it comes down to it, it's the education business is not about employing adults. It's about educating the students, and it seems like maybe the particular urban schools have maybe, well, I know they haven't stepped up, and those students have gotten the short end of the stick. But you know, good in our area, Mark, we have pretty solid schools in our area when you think about it. And you know, we didn't get into it with the options on schools, you know, the charter schools.
We were supposed to talk about that, weren't we?
Charter schools, and then the private schools, and the traditional private schools, or religious schools, particularly the Catholic and the you know, Christian schools in our area, and also a group that's growing nationwide is the homeschooling industry, the education and homeschooling. But you know, for the most part, tonight, you know, at the football games. There's, as the doctor was talking about, there's a lot of community pride in their schools. But, you know, not football, but the field hockey, the cross-country runners, when you go to those school plays, we're a little panacea a little bit about our schools in our area, that we don't get into the situations we see in other schools, districts. But, you know, it's very, very positive, time of the year with the kickoff of school.
Right, we have open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. We got a text that was sent in yesterday we did not read. And I think we have one email we did not read yesterday, and we have a copy of a state or U.S. Congressman Fred Keller's survey was sent to me, so I forwarded that to WKOK so we can talk about that on the air. We do have some news headlines to pass along. A new academic year at Bucknell University brings a new $38 million building open for classes. It's the new Academic East building and will open its doors to students in the College of Engineering and the Department of Education when the fall semester starts Monday. Pat Mather is dean of the College of Engineering at Bucknell.
Just the reconfigurability of the space, the sheer volume of the space, it's going to be an immensely creative opportunity for our students. The mood in the faculty is really optimistic.
The building features more than 30 offices, 4 classrooms shared by both sets of students, meaning the education and engineering students, more than 25 engineering labs. The new building also greatly benefits the university's Department of Education with significantly enhanced spaces for faculty and student interaction, has grass and gardens on the roof, and is completely reconfigurable, they tell you, so the walls can move
if necessary, to do something else later. More delays on the Danville Riverside Bridge expected this weekend as crews continue a repair job on the Danville side of the bridge. That starts tonight at 7 p.m. So as soon as you sit down at the Ironman Stadium, The stadium at Danville is called the Blank Statement Stadium. PennDOT tells us work will begin around 7 p.m. tonight and will be completed by Monday.
As it used to be called F.Q. Hartman.
Oh, okay. Still is, probably.
No, that's an old stadium.
Oh, that's gone.
Down
okay,
along the
they
river,
got rid of
but,
that. Okay.
I think, is it, it's not the Kevin Herr Stadium?
Not yet, okay. But it will be. Okay. It will be the Kevin Herr Memorial Stadium in 40 years. All week.
I'm sure he's happy to hear that.
Right. Well, hey, he's almost 60. He'll be here forever. All weekend work there will be times when traffic will be controlled by flagging on the Danville Riverside Bridge. So that is this weekend.
So it won't be done by the time the game's over then?
No, it will not be done. So there'll be delays for all those folks going home from the game tonight. Major phone companies are telling the country's state attorneys general that they will do more against robocalls. It's the latest step from the U.S. government and industry to combat the growing problem. Americans get nearly 5 billion calls from scammers, telemarketers, debt collectors, and others every month. The agreement echoes some steps already taken by regulators and Congress, which is working on anti-robocall bills. The state attorney general says phone companies will offer call blocking tools free, but all traditional landline users can already have them. They will also block calls for everyone at the network level if asked to do so. The Federal Communications Commission has also called on phone companies to block unwanted calls and expects carriers not to charge for it. It also calls on them to make sure that caller ID numbers are real and not faked. The agreement does not have a timeline for those robocalls.
It's getting absurd, especially on cell phones.
With a cell phone, yeah. I don't care if my home phone rings all day.
Well,
I never pick it up.
Well, do you have an answering machine by chance?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you go home and you see 6 messages and there's basically no message.
Yeah, for some reason our answering machine screens out fake calls. We don't want to get real messages.
Good for you.
So. All right, finally, Walmart says it will reopen its El Paso store where 22 people were killed in a mass shooting this month, but only after the entire interior of the store is rebuilt. Walmart says the project is expected to take 3 to 4 months. The project will include an on-site memorial honoring the victims of the shooting and recognizing the binational relationship between El Paso and Ciudad Juarez in Mexico. Authorities say the suspected El Paso gunman confessed to targeting Mexicans during the August 3rd shooting. Walmart says nearly all of the 400 employees at the El Paso store have been reassigned to other nearby locations. Walmart says the company believes reopening the store is an important step in healing from that tragedy. So hopefully they'll get that store open and people can go back to ruining local retailers' lives and favoring the big bucks.
Well, I think that's been the nature of commerce. If you look at the history, there was something called the Five and Dime stores, F.W. Woolworth, Grant's.
Mm-hmm. Newberry's. Sunbury had all of them.
Yeah, now I'm thinking of the Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, Target.
They're still
Walmart.
Thriving. Why is the Dollar Tree doing okay, but Woolworth's is gone?
Probably the culture within the and management changes, the efficiencies. You know, one thing, remember, Walmart was a Woolworth type of store. I mean, Sam Walton started it, and if you go to the map, I think it's on the Walmart website, you can click on and it will show you the expansion of Walmart. And, they started out of Bentonville, Arkansas. And
a small department store.
Yeah, I think I forget the proper name. I don't know, it was so and so Walmart or so so Walton store. Anyway, you can look at that history. So Walmart just grew, but the efficiencies they put in place, and one thing people have to realize, we talk about politics and talk about sausage making. When you're a retailer, when you're a Walmart or like these other stores, large grocery stores. The relationship with your vendors is very interesting, and sometimes you know, it's hopefully it's a win-win, but sometimes it can be a little adversarial. But business is business, and you know both sides can play hardball at times. And again, if you see the how it works to get shelf space, why it works to get shelf space, who's giving you shelf space. I think a very interesting case study is the businesses. Or Mark, you come up with a widget, and you go and you talk to these stores, and you're like, oh, geez, you guys are boy, this is going to be tough. I'd like to sell you. However, if you go out and you create demand where people walk into a store and say, hey, where's the Lawrence widget? What do you mean? Well, you don't sell the Lawrence widget.
Yeah, you don't have the widget fidget that Mark Lawrence plays.
I'm going to go find
that Mark plays with during the whole show.
Yeah, I'm going to go find where I can buy that. Well, hold it. Then we better get shelf space for the Lawrence widget. So, when commerce is being done, it's very interesting what goes into it. A lot of positives are for all stores. I know you talk about the big box stores.
I have two widgets.
The big box stores employ a lot of people and do a lot of. Things for the community, and if you look at a Walmart or a Target or some of these stores, and some of the smaller stores, but they'll have the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts or the Youth Soccer League or the Youth Baseball Team out selling tickets in front of that. So, the Boscos have done that for years. So the community activism within the business community is very positive, and you look at the sponsors here, Sunbury Motors. There's not a business day that probably doesn't go by that there's not a request going in for some sort of philanthropy.
How about a half a dozen requests every day?
Well, but and as businesses, you look and you want to be community minded, but also you have to be profit minded so you can stay in business to support your workforce. So a lot of positives come into to what goes on within the commerce, and I think we're very lucky here. You see the we have them here on Fridays first of the
Chamber of Commerce that's coming up.
Yeah, the Commerce Week. Where the Chamber very, very proactive in promoting the business and promoting the business and the community together.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take another quickie break. And we do have an email pending. I can read that before the break, and maybe that'll be a topic you wish to comment on. 1-800-795-9565. We have a copy of Congressman Fred Keller's survey that he's sending out to constituents talking about the minimum wage. So we can take a look at that shortly. Well, the email that we received yesterday says, good morning, Mark. I would like to remind everyone, these tariffs are hurting everyone! Exclamation point. Would like to have a farmer say they're happy filing for bankruptcy to cover them. Trump flip-flopped on more tariffs on China so we Americans can afford Christmas. China has nothing to lose holding out. Says Bob.
Yeah, I'd like him to, maybe he can send us which farmers have gone for bankruptcy, because there's been aid to farmers to help get through this.
Well, yeah, for some crops, farmers, but not all crops.
Yeah, but farmers are tightening their belt, and they're going through this because for the short term, there might be some situations here. For the long term, we'll be far better off. And I think, as the president's talked about, this should have been taken care of decades ago, and it wasn't. So
he's the one.
Thanks, Bob.
We appreciate that. All right, we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can call us at 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236. One of our listeners did that yesterday while we were yak, and he said, Mark, please play the audio clip of Trump saying we need to ban all Muslims. Play the complete clip, not a parsed version. I don't think he ever said it. His ban was a travel ban on people from seven terrorist-laden countries and not a Muslim ban.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that he ever said it. What he did was he sent it out in a news release in 2015. The campaign sent it out and said that these are some things that the president was calling for. So we found it on CNN back in 2015. This is their story, December 2015. It says Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump is calling for barring all Muslims from entering the U.S. And this is a campaign press release. Quote, Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what's going on, unquote. Trump, and then back to CNN, says Trump, who has previously called for surveillance against mosques, said he was open to establishing a database for all Muslims living in the U.S., a registry of Muslims. He made his latest controversial call in a news release. His message comes in the wake of a mass shooting in California by a suspected ISIS sympathizer.
Yeah, I was San Bernardino, and again, we should have a database of all people coming to seeking asylum,
sort of a
immigration.
Registry. Keep track of everybody in the U.S.
Not so much keeping track of, but when you're coming to the country, if you're coming as a refugee, if you're coming seeking an asylum, I mean, there needs to be some information on how you're coming here. You know, part of the problem in some of the countries is you can't vet the people. You know, people show up with papers, and you're looking at a 26-year-old male, and the paper says he's 17. As we're seeing at the border, they have these family type units that we're finding out that aren't families. It's atrocious, and some groups are not helpful in trying to curb illegal immigration. Our immigration system's broken, legally and illegally, and makes no common sense when particular parties are fighting not to secure the country. If you have a secure country and an immigration system that can work, that's one thing. But again, there's been political parties in power that haven't stepped up. And, I'll be quite honest, I don't think some of these groups want to solve the issue because they can raise money on it, off it. They can try to be as sympathetic as they want, but they're not. If you go to the southern border, and I was with some people over the weekend and now during the week with them who live in Arizona and California, have been there and seen it. But when you're 100 miles inside the Arizona-Mexican border, when you're in the United States and you see what the coyotes and these drug smugglers and people do, and then you got the groups downplaying that it's nothing, it's real. We've been leaving it go for too long. And the human side of this is not being approached. We get progressive groups, democratic groups, Christian groups trying to say, this, that, and the other thing, we have to do this for the children. Well, go down and see how the children are being used. See how the women are being abused. See how the coyotes are paying off the Mexican officials to get in. Now, look under this administration.
So under these circumstances, two wrongs do make a right.
No, there's not two wrongs. It's wrong. There's one wrong. Illegal immigration is wrong. People seeking asylum, you can go through asylum. No, you can go through asylum, Mark. You don't go through a country to get to another country seeking asylum. If your country is that bad, when you leave that first country you're in, it's Mexico, that's your asylum. So the abuse of the
laws. So if you were seeking asylum from the U.S., you'd choose Mexico?
No, I would probably choose Greenland since it's going to be a U.S. commonwealth.
It's going to be U.S.
territory coming up in
they're
in
not selling.
Future. Well, and the Danish are foolish. Believe me, the press didn't seem to understand Harry Truman tried to buy that. And
Well, eventually they're going to get taken over. Either Russia, the U.S., or somebody's going to take them
China,
at some point.
China with their Belt and Road program. The Chinese are just... how would you politely say it? There's probably no way politely to say it. They're tough folks, and they play for keeps, or they're trying to play for keeps with their 2025 initiative, their 2035 initiative, but their Belt and Road program, their foreign policy program, is almost right out of organized crime's handbook. They'll go to a country and they'll supplement them with income. They'll do things for them. Then all of a sudden, no, Mr. Prime Minister, your interest rate is not that. You put another zero behind that. So Greenland very feasible to look at, and for the right reasons, and for the shipping. corridor, but also for the minerals.
So the president is clearly biased against all Muslims. That's why he wanted the ban. But when he became president, of course, it was became obvious that you cannot just ban a particular religion. And the Muslim ban on individuals coming from these seven countries, that's how it manifests itself. But the original intent was to ban all Muslims coming into the U.S. That was his main interest, just like he wants to ban all Mexicans from coming into the U.S. legally or illegally. But, of course, you can definitely pick the ones that come in illegally.
Where are you seeing that?
Well, just from his words, I don't know. I can't read his mind.
All Mexicans, and he didn't say he's going to ban all Muslims. He said from these countries that you can't vet people, why should they come in? I mean, the situation is...
Well, you heard it. He said he wanted to ban all Muslims coming into the U.S.
From the Muslim countries.
No. That's how it manifests itself. In 2015, he said he wanted to ban all Muslims, period. End of story. From anywhere, anytime, whether they're religious leaders or terrorists, everybody gets banned. We'll take more comers on this. Ben and I could chit-chat about this forever, but we need your participation. 1-800-795-9565. We have Congressman Keller's email, too. He's seeking information about the minimum wage. But do you think, is it any evidence of the president's bias against Muslims that he wanted to ban all of them from coming into the U.S.? If you think so, let us know. If you don't think so, let us know. Use the usual venues. The text message, 70236. Use the email onthemark@wkok.com or call us right now, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. I want to tell you the Sunbury Motor Company, super duper place to visit. Mm-hmm. They sell Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Lincoln, and thousands of pre-owned vehicles that are in perfect condition. If your car is busted, they got a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks. And they really mean that, all sizes of trucks. Great big Euclids all the way down to little Ford Ranger pickup trucks back in the 80s when they were small trucks. And they're a master towing service. Decades of damage-free experience. They got the quick lane alignment shop, body shop, car wash, and another shop that escapes me. Plus, they'll pump you up with nitrogen. SunburyMotors.com to get wired in so you know what's happening with your vehicle. If you got a trip, maybe you're making a road trip up to Danville this week, Sunbury Motor Company, or you're going down to South Carolina to watch the
Southern game.
Columbia,
South Carolina. 2 o'clock Sunday.
When's the last time you were in Columbia? 6 months ago is the answer.
Not a little longer than that.
Okay. But you've been there. You've been all over the country, haven't you?
Some places.
Alaska?
More than others. No.
Not yet.
Never
all right.
Alaska
we'll
in Hawaii.
Put you on a slow boat to Alaska. Lance, you are on the mark.
Hi there. Well, anyway, when we think about the Muslims, okay, and register the Muslims and do all this stuff, and then you think about the guns and the gun owners, you know, they want to register the gun owners and register all the guns. Now, you want to kind of throttle both sides, don't you? Because here you are saying just how horrible it is, you know, to have your firearms and everything registered because it isn't right, it's against the Constitution, the whole bit. And then, well, we got to go register all them Muslims on account of, you know, what they do.
Well, just wait.
So then we have the other side. You see what I'm talking about?
Well, not really. But on
really?
Because here's the other thing. Go look at the census. So you're going to fill out a census report, and they're going to ask you your ethnicity. So, I mean, I agree with you from the standpoint that, you know, I'm not here to register people, but go look at the census. And we couldn't ask if, supposedly, you couldn't ask if you were a citizen of the United States, which you live in. But if you look at all the other questions they ask you for, you know, good luck trying to round that square.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, if you go to buy a gun, you have to register your ethnicity, sex, brown, you know, whatever. I mean, it's you're declaring you're a United States citizen or what citizen you are. But then you can't ask somebody that just out on the street. I don't understand that part.
Yeah, a little bit of hypocrisy.
So who's calling for a gun registry? I haven't heard that. Oh, somebody brought it up on the talk show weeks ago, but there's...
Did you have been listening to any of those bozos that are running for the Democratic nomination?
No.
Any of them?
No, but you're saying they're, most of them anyway, are calling for a gun registration, all guns in the U.S.?
Yeah, you really should listen to those debates. It might really open your eyes.
Well, I do listen to the debates, but I don't remember that. But I don't remember every sentence they ever said in them.
Well, I guess so.
Okay, so they're calling for gun registration. Well, that'll never fly. I'll tell you that right now. People will rise up. That's like
we'll get the
Nazi Germany all over again.
Get the gags and flag out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess this call of mine is sort of like in the Bible where it says, "In the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." First call of the day and the last two.
Okay, thank you, Lance.
At least you're on.
Yeah,
you
bet.
Appreciate
it.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, nobody's really calling for gun registration that I know of, but maybe all the Democratic candidates are.
Quietly.
But I don't follow their
quietly. Their
platforms.
They'd love to take every. It seems like a lot of them would like to take a lot of guns or do buyback programs like in Australia and certain scenarios. And I think you're seeing, particularly in the last couple of years with the 2016 election, you're seeing the Democrats are coming out of their shell and being what they've pretty much always been. And you're seeing Joe Biden getting caught up in the wash where he's trying not to be as left as the group. But the group is pulling him left, and we'll certainly see what happens. But getting into what you wanted to talk about, the Phillies are playing good baseball. It's
right,
still
we're
going to
join the Phillies. Yeah, Phillies in progress after Shikellamy. They'll already have the first couple pitches in the Padre mm-hmm. game underway. But that's when we'll join them.
You're talking about the Shikellamy poetry reading tonight.
Yes, it is at Shikellamy Stadium tonight. There'll be a poetry reading, and there'll be two people there, and everybody else is going up to Danville. Tonight.
Yeah, so it's the start, and Sunbury Broadcasting certainly, when you look at Schick at Danville.
Lewisburg
at Seals Grove, so you'll see that, and that will be a dual game because you'll have it on the Valley, and you'll have it on 107.
No, it's going to be on 100.9 The Valley.
The Valley, okay.
No, the Valley.
No,
the 100.9 Valley. The Valley.
Okay. Is that?
That's what the station's called. You
is
have
that
to say it.
Calming and... soothing music.
I think it is.
Okay.
It's music for your workplace.
So high school football kicks off tonight. There'll be very, very good temperatures for those going out. So you got Kevin Herr and the Chief at Shikellamy Danville, and then you got the Seals Grove Lewisburg game. Also, too, Southern Columbia is traveling south down to Columbia, South Carolina, to play TV game on ESPN2, 2 o'clock Sunday. But you got a big events going up north here in Williamsport, Little League World Series.
And Sarah Lauver's doing the national anthem.
Lauver's going to do the national
for the championship
anthem on
game. ABC.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday at 2:30. That should be great. Look for this Louisiana team to fight back against Hawaii. That's going to be the U.S. championship on Saturday.
And they're going to have perfect weather. We got it all going on.
I was going to say, in the 70s, low humidities. Pretty darn good.
Next week is not Chamber Day, but the week after is. So we're going to be, but you'll be back next week, so we'll have a good chit chat with Ben Reichling.
We'll talk about the China Belt and Road Program.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDK, okay, Sunbury.